Governance Committee for the Monterey Peninsula Water Supply Project. And please let the minutes reflect that Dave Potter is here representing the county, Rob McLean representing Cal-AM, Jeannie Byrne representing the district, and myself representing the Water Authority. And Jeannie, if you don't mind leading us, come forward to lead us.
Please join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll now turn to public comments. This is an opportunity for anyone to address the Governance Committee on any item not on today's agenda. Tom.
Hi, good morning. Tom Raleigh. It's always a pleasure to be back after being out of town for about a month, hanging loose. And I'd like to congratulate all that's been concerned Cal-AM and the consultants. The SPI report, which I read very carefully, is an excellent wrap-up, and you'll be discussing it later. But it did raise some issues that I've mentioned several times. I know at least once before Governance Committee, and not all of you were here, I think, at that time, and also before the Water Authority on several occasions about the cart before the horse and the scheduling, the long-term scheduling. I haven't participated in the committee that worked, or the task force, whatever you want to call the group that worked on the regional desal, and seeing the delays that occurred in that timetable because of certain hurdles that weren't completely done. And again, as a representative here from the Monterey Peninsula Taxpayers Association, the concern about delays and stranded costs needs to be repeated again. Because as you move forward, the commitment of funds for design and build or whatever is going on. And the other thing, so much hinges on the completion of the environmental review and the testing and what have you. And I have kept up with what's been reported in the media and what reports I've received online. And to my knowledge, as far as I've seen, there's no sure guarantee that all the test data will be in by next August, which I think the summary that was in Mr. Westner's report, the SBI report, was excellent. But again, I see the potential for delays and increased costs, which always wind up coming out of the ratepayers' pockets. The other thing is, in the discussion of the 9.6 million gallons per day versus 6.4 million gallons per day, as a representative of the Taxpayers Association, I would be negligent if I did not mention those poor folks who own a lot or own a land and cannot do anything with it because of lack of water for the individual jurisdictions. I know you're familiar with it. The Water Authority, the mayors are intimately familiar with it. But we need to build the bigger plant to be able to be sure we have enough water where those people are paying taxes on property they can't do anything with. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Would anyone else like to address the Governance Committee on any item not on today's agenda? Seeing none, we will close the public comment and bring it back. I think several comments that Tom raised we can address when we get to item two below regarding the design-build contract. We'll move on to action item one, which is approved minutes of July 11 and August 1.
Move approval.
Excuse me, I just want to clarify. There are the only minutes that are presented at this meeting are July 11.
Okay, just in July 11.
So move approval as July 11.
Second.
Any discussion? Any member of the public? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes unanimously. We'll move on to item two, which is really the main item for today. My understanding that all of us have heard this presentation at either the Water Authority meeting or the Water Management District meeting on Monday. So I think that we can keep a quick presentation, but certainly allow time for any questions that may be had just as a way of review. The Governance Committee has been engaged in the selection of the design build firm since early this year. We had an opportunity to provide recommendations on the request for qualifications. Cal-AM accepted all of those recommendations. then we had an opportunity to provide recommendations on the request for proposal. Kellen again accepted those recommendations. That request was sent out to the five shortlisted firms, and the original plan was that Cal-Am would be coming back to the governance committee with their preliminary decision. We've actually had an opportunity to have more public engagement than originally planned, thanks to an arrangement that we worked out with Cal-Am, whereby Alex Westner from Separation Processes Incorporated would have an opportunity to sit in on the interview process and the internal discussions at Cal-Am, such that we can have him report to us today about how that process went and the degree to which it served the public interest in his judgment. So with that brief overview of where we are, I will turn it to Alex and ask for a somewhat shorter presentation than we all heard on Monday.
Yeah, we'll move through it. I guess, you know, just in sort of summary, it was a very, you know, open and fair process. Where do I point this to have it advance? Did I point it at your computer?
No, just right here at the screen is fine.
There it is. I had accessed all the documents as part of the evaluation. Almost all of these have now gone up on the project website. But I had access to them as they were being developed and was able to embed with the Cal-Am evaluation selection team, sit in on their deliberations, see how that process went. And as an overall statement, it was very fair, very typical of other municipal design build selection processes. I think Paul Meyerhofer with CDM can attest to that as well in terms of his experience. You know, going after municipal design build projects that, you know, Cal-Am is a private water utility engaged in a process that was very similar to what would be a competitive selection process. They had a, you know, detailed selection committee. I think in a lot of ways, and, you know, maybe Paul can land on this for your benefit as well, I think in certain aspects exceeded what public agencies do in terms of the selection process. From the evaluation report they put together, really, you know, spelling out the reasons for their selection, their scoring criteria, the way they score the different proposals from candidate teams. And then down to the negotiation process they had with 2 days with CDM once they were selected, really refining the scope, getting a very good understanding of what was in the design-build price proposals, making sure they saw that the Cal-Am technical folks saw eye to eye with what CDM was providing. And I think that was a credit to the overall process. These are the scoring criteria. They were embedded in the RFP, so that was kind of set in stone, and that was what was applied in terms of scoring the proposals that eventually ended up having CDM selected. Can you zoom that for me?
Yes.
Thanks. This was the final scoring. It had both technical criteria at 40% of the total score and the business and financial criteria at 60%. It was a fair and candid evaluation. You know, probably, you know, they would have liked CDM to be the highest ranked on both technical and business and financial criteria, but in the candor of the process, CH2M Hill actually had the higher score in the technical criteria, but CDM's price proposal was a bit more competitive and ended up having them come out on top. There was a pretty good spread in the pricing of the bids between the, you know, CDM's at the low side of, you know, the 9.6 facility of $85 million and CH2M Hill on the high side at $110 million. There's not a lot of good reasons for why that occurs other than just bid aggressiveness. I did put in, for the benefit of the presentation, the site plans from the various teams, because I think that was the one feature that was very, you know, they had very prescriptive criteria in their request for proposal document, but they pretty much left the site development up to the proposal teams, and they each took a different approach to how they arranged the site. I find that interesting. In some cases, a bit instructive as to why certain teams' pricing was higher than others. This is the CDM site plans are the one that is from the successful team that they put together. CH Dome Hill, again, with the highest price, had kind of the most spread out site plan, a lot of buildings and things that I think were contributory to their higher price proposal. And lastly, Montgomery Watson. It was a prescriptive design build process, you know, apples to apples, so you could submit fixed price bids. They did add voluntary alternative proposal considerations, and all the teams submitted voluntary alternative proposals for consideration with various pricing credits. None of these rose to the level of affecting the final scoring. You know, none of the voluntary proposals were considered, feasible so that they would be considered in the base alternative selection process. Lastly, I'll just hit on the schedule, and I think this is interesting and maybe goes some way to addressing Tom's concern. And I'm a little familiar with it, and maybe Anthony can chime in a bit on what's in the agreement. But essentially, from the start date, CDN looks to complete a 60% design in August 2014. And I think that's an off-ramp point in the contract with a prescribed limit of $2.5 million. Am I stating that correctly? And so at that point, the contract can be terminated, and no more money is spent under the contract. At that point, the coastal permit is secured. And I think that's, you know, August 2014 date is the CPCN, projected CPCN date, and also the projected date for securing the EIR. So those are two big permits that would be coincident with that date. And then no more money is really spent other than permit support through February 2015 when you get the coastal development permit. So, you know, that sort of at-risk money is $2.5 million out to that stage. Once those permits are acquired is when the contract advances through the final design. Currently, on the current schedule forecast for September 2015, in preparation for a decision on the groundwater replenishment project in October 2015, and then completion of design for construction start November 2015. So. So the arc of it. And with that, I'll conclude my formal presentation and accept any questions.
Thank you, Alex. First of all, if there's any questions from the Governance Committee, seeing none, I'll ask whether Cal Am has any additional comments that you wish to make.
Rich, any comments?
Just for Cal Am, I want to, I guess, thank the Governance Committee for actually allowing Alex to participate. He was pretty valuable to the process overall and a good sounding board for where we got to taking some of the options. So I just want to acknowledge Alex's help in the process.
Thank you, Rich, for saying that. All right, Jim?
Good morning, Jim Cullen, Executive Director for the Water Authority. Mayor Burnett may cover these points, but upon the presentation being presented to the Technical Advisory Committee and to the Water Authority, they came away with recommendations to the Governance Committee, and I'll just hit the high points, and then if Mayor Burnett wants to expand, please do. One was, first of all, the TAC and the Water Authority endorsed the CDM selection process and was pleased with what SPI did. They also would recommend that there be more specific discussion or expression of how CalAm would handle the owner quality assurance. The contract currently calls for the contractor to provide both quality control and quality assurance, whichever technical definitions, if you will, in normal contract language. Typically, in most cases, we've seen that owners will have their own quality assurance system or a consultant, to ensure that the owner's interests are being protected. So it's kind of one more step. It's probably already included, it just goes without saying, but we would suggest that that be more clearly delineated in the final contract. And it's for the benefit of the public as well, so the public can feel comfortable that there is, in fact, a hard look, maybe a second set of eyeballs looking at the quality assurance question. Also, there was a suggestion, if at all possible, to lock in the savings of $9.7 million on the filter elimination issue. Right now, that's an option which we think at this point, the technical information available, that Calum probably doesn't want to exercise. But there will come a point, possibly, where somewhere in that order, 9.7 or something, something along those lines might be able to be exercised. If it turns out manganese and iron are not an issue and you don't need that system, the authority requested is simply to try to lock that number in so we're not dealing with a much smaller savings when if that should come up. Now seems to be an opportune time. And as I recall, those, I think, are the major points that I hit them all there. May have been, I think,
I would just note that I think the Water Authority Board took the position that it would be useful to have a fixed price deduct associated with not having the pre-filtration. I believe that Ian from Cal-Am commented that it wouldn't necessarily be 9.7 because that would be the deduct if it were taken out today, and that the value that would be the cost savings may be somewhat less if Cal-Am exercises that option at some point in the future. I just want to clarify that point, and the Water Authority did not necessarily think that the right number was 9.7. We were simply asking that there be a number in the contract.
One last point, I think, and it was discussed, but that is a pre-prepared method schedule is required in the contract. That can be a very detailed document, which can be very difficult for a layperson to follow if it's actually they actually present the one use of the project management. So we had requested that Cal-Am look at some summary type CPM. The one that's on their website is a little bit too simple, but some type of a CPM schedule that would be between what's on the website and what will ultimately be the construction critical path method that would be available for the governance committee, and for that matter, any members of the public that have a better sense of how the project is going. The only other recommendation I think we have from the authority. Any questions?
Any questions for Jim? Thank you. And Jeannie, do you want to give an update of the water management district discussions?
Right. And the water management district is in support of this proposal. But the one thing that came out that they wanted to really underline is that the contractor would use local vendors and local subcontractors as much as possible. Sort of an economic issue for this area.
And it's my understanding that that's in the contract. I thought there was also a question as to how we're going to monitor that to ensure that, in fact,
that really happens.
I'll ask Cal-Am if you have any comments on those three possible conditions or recommendations associated with our support for the selection of CBM.
Maybe just at high level, I think we've talked about all of those things internally, and we're willing to accommodate them to the best of our ability. Rich, maybe if you want to give some specifics, it might be helpful.
Yeah, so for the first item, the QAQC program, certainly we will require CDM Smith to perform a QAQC, both functions under their contract. That's standard care. But on top of that, hopefully a lot of you know, California American Water, we're a very active owner. We're actively involved in all of our projects, and we will certainly, on top of their program, have our own quality assurance program. And just like we're doing on the San Clemente Dam project right now, where Kleinfelder and Granite Construction are building the project, Cal-Am and WSC and URS are also watching to make sure that they're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing. So that level of effort will continue on this project without a doubt. And we can formalize that if that needs to be more formal, what our plan is, so if you can be more comfortable in that. Absolutely, there'll be staff with full-time employees on our side watching every bit of the project, not just, you know, cursory review. As far as the pretreatment credit, we will work with Stephen Smith to get that number locked down. It probably won't be 9.7 million. There's some other things that need to come into play, but we'll get that locked down. And just so you know, in my estimates that we had before we went to bid, I had about a $7.5 million credit for that one item. It is a pretty complex issue. What they want to do is sequester iron and manganese throughout the system. And as I've talked to some of my colleagues here, for a system with one well and one tank, pretty easy to do that. But for a system like this one, where we have groundwater replenishment water, desal water, sources from the Carmel River, sources from the Seaside Basin, to assume that you can sequester iron and manganese throughout the entire system and have that be successful is pretty risky. And that's one of the main reasons why we chose not to go down that road. And knowing that, you know, there could be changing water quality over time, and we don't have a big feel for that yet. But we'll certainly lock in the number. That's not a problem. We realize that's probably a smart thing to do, just to have that protection. And the last thing, as far as the schedule, agree. If you recall, as part of the application for the PUC, we're required to record a newsletter. We don't have a really detailed schedule at this point yet because we haven't really got to the point where we can start putting in more detailed schedule, but we will develop a better schedule that will be part of that quarterly report as well, so everyone can kind of get a feel for where each of the major projects are. And lastly, the local vendor, absolutely, as part of the RFQ process, the RFP, this board asked us to include that. So we included the Monterey County policy, which is a 50% local utilization of labor. And that includes the three surrounding counties, not just Monterey County. And that's certainly what CDM proposed on it. Actually had a very good plan. And there's a monitoring requirement that's part of that to ensure that we're getting that. So no issue on that one at all.
So does CalAm monitor that then?
They report to us and we double check again. Yes.
Maybe a follow-on question. Will those reports also come to the governance committee as part of the periodic updates on the progress?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Okay.
I just might, as far as local hire goes, that's not just specific to the physical on-site contractors, but also those that are on your design and construct team. You do have two locals. You've got Whitson and you've got Denise Duffy and Associates. But I constantly hear from the architectural community, the landscape design community, that they got left out of the design process, and that talent does exist locally. So whatever you can do to drill down into those, you know, design subcontracting groups, that would be helpful too.
Okay, absolutely. And Paul in the room, the team Smith, so he's taking
exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rich.
Thank you.
Let me just read into the record. We did ask Russ McLaughlin from Brownstein to review the contract, and so he sent this the following email. Pursuant to the Water Authority's request, Russ's partner, Wes Strickland, reviewed the design-build contract proposed for execution with CDM. Wes has substantial experience with design-build contracts and was the appropriate attorney to review the agreement. Wes concluded that the agreement was well-drafted and fair between CalAm and CDM, and he's looking into a single matter of further coordination regarding meetings, but overall feels the agreement is proper for recommendation for approval by the governance committee. So I just wanted to, not only did we have Alex from SBI look at, engage on the technical side, but we also had Russ McLaughlin's firm look at the contract from a legal side. Okay, if there aren't any other questions, let me open it to the public. Any member of the public wish to address the governance committee on this item? Seeing none, I will close the public comment and bring it back. And allow me for a minute just to note what just transpired. We are about ready to make a tremendously important decision for the Monterey Peninsula's water supply presumably recommending the selection of the design-build contractor. And I just want to compliment all that have been involved in that process. To have a well-run process such that at the final stage, there's literally no comment because people understand, hopefully this is the right interpretation, people understand that there's the logic behind the decision about ready to be made. I do want to compliment CalAm for working with the governance committee and working with the public agencies and getting to the point where there literally were no questions from the public on a close to $90 million decision for the company to design and build our the largest component of our water supply. So thank you for helping to get us to this point. We've taken it out to public comment. We've brought it back. Any further discussion? Entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve or recommend this company for the project.
Second.
Absolutely. We would include the three conditions that were mentioned: the quality assurance, the filtration cost, and the local hire monitoring.
Okay, very good. And Dave, your second includes those three conditions. Let me just check for a completeness to make sure that CalAm understands those three conditions. We'll follow that with a written description somewhat more detail, so I'll work with Jim and Dave to get a letter out as per the governance committee agreement. And also as per the governance committee agreement, I believe that if CalAM accepts those recommendations, then we're done with this stage in the process. If not, CalAM has a reasonably short period of time to provide a written explanation as to why not. I'm not expecting that will be necessary based on the...
We'll accept those recommendations.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. Okay, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you very much. That's a big step forward in working towards a water supply project for the peninsula. And I did want to make sure that we sufficiently addressed Tom's comment that I think that the money at risk here is, as I understand it, $2.5 million. So although we are recommending a $85, $90 million contract, in fact, the amount at risk between now and the issuance of the CPCN is carefully limited. We'll continue working towards getting that CPCN and that coastal development permit. With that, we will move on to item 3, which is an update on the development of the landfill gas term sheet. People appear to be looking to you, Jim. I don't know if you're prepared to give a staff report. If not, we can adjourn the meeting early. But,
we'll make it pretty quick. Rich from them may want to add a note or two. We are continuing to move forward with the Hollywood Waste Management District as well as CalAM and working our way to other memorandum of agreement. There have been some initial agreements. We seem to be moving in the right direction. Right now, it's not imperative that today or anytime in the near future that we necessarily have to have a power purchase agreement, but clearly that's the direction we're working. So just in the overview, it's still moving forward at appropriate pace to where we are at this stage. Richard, do you want to add anything to that?
I have a couple comments. So California American Water has agreed to participate in a small electric study with the Waste Management District. About a $17,000 study will participate in roughly half of that to inform how we can make that power work for our desal plant. And one of the things that we were looking forward to having CDM Smith on board now is now I have access to their electrical designers. Before that, it was a lot of guesswork, if you will, but now that we have that firm that will be on board here shortly, then we can kind of start making this a coordinated effort to be able to provide them, you know, real-time information. So that's helping just to help the design and get some of those things out of the way first before we really get to the MOU, because we need to make sure this is going to work for both sides. Right now, the power requirement for the full-size desal plant is more than what the landfill can make. So to make that work reliably is kind of risky. So we are kind of moving forward with that. And, I believe they were going to try to start at the end of the year with this little study to start that process.
Great. Thank you, Rich.
Any other questions for you?
Any questions for Jim? That's just a status update. And Jim, just before you're ready to sit down, what is the overall schedule in terms of, can you refresh my memory in terms of when we might actually have a power purchase agreement ready for our consideration?
Well, I think we're looking at probably at least 6 months, I'm thinking, because part of the problem there is that the Waste Management District has a number of existing customers, they do have to close out their contract with PG&E, which is coming up in terms of supplying PG&E, and then they'll be making some decisions about alternate clients rather than just selling it all off to PG&E. So that's where we are in the discussion to see, number one, whether it's technically possible. And as you know, one of the problems we really have at this stage of the game is that it's a stated objective of the authority that we will obtain power at the lowest possible cost in order to keep the cost of the water down. Now, the lowest possible kind of depends on the time of the day and it depends on a lot of different things, but there are advantages right now, as we seem to see, to the fact that we get cleaner power from the landfill than we would at a particular location from PG&E. That's number one. So even though it could be potentially more expensive to get it from the landfill, There's potential savings in terms of the problems you have trying to deal with dirty power and fluctuating voltages that right now look to be the situation with PG&E. In addition, there's the whole question of making sure that we have dual power sources, both in terms of where Cal-Am receives its power, so that we don't have a struggle with the debt equivalency issue. Cal-Am would be pulling power for either one of the two sources, and the same thing is true for the landfill. So, problem there, a lot of these details have to be worked out, and it kind of depends on what the power requirement is going to be, when they're going to be, before we can get into it. So, to get back to the original question, I think we're looking at least 6 months out. If it looks like we need to have it sooner, then we'll expedite the process. But it looks like, with where we are at this point, I say about 6 months plus. You agree with that?
Agreed.
Is there any questions on that?
Okay. Thank you, Jim. This is a public hearing, so I'll open it to the public. Any member of the public wish to address the governance committee on this item? Seeing none, I will close the public comment, bring it back. This is just a status update, so we don't need any action. But any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll move on to item four, which is discussion of items to be placed on future agendas. And I'll turn it to Cal-Am. Under the governance committee agreement, do you have any upcoming items, Cal-Am notifications that will be made to the governance committee that we should begin scheduling around?
I'm looking at Anthony and Rich, and I'm not seeing anything imminent. So.
Nothing at this point.
Well, coordination has been good so far, so we'll trust that as the next notification approaches, that it'll give us a heads up so that we can schedule the appropriate meetings to accommodate the decisions or recommendations that are to be made. With that, let me, I don't think that I properly thanked Alex in particular for the many hours that that he spent on behalf of the governance committee working with through some very detailed documents, really saving us from having to go through those documents. Thank you very much, Alex, for that effort. Any further items before we adjourn? Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.